Reading this morning from the fifth chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, combined with our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we now have a restored relationship with God. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning. Help us to be aware of your Spirit ministering to us. Lord, we pray that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be opened, our hearts would be opened to receive all that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've seen the movies, right? You know, those in which that hero somehow finds just the right combination and disaster is averted. That of punching in just the right number when you know that if you punched in the wrong one, kablooey. You've also seen in some of those same movies the bad guy, of course, getting the wrong combination. You know, such as trying to find the combination into Bond's car and it blowing up around him. I realize that's a movie quite a bit ago, but we've gotten pictures of it in pictures, movies, television, all across. It's one of those themes that's enjoyable because we like to see the good guys win. Or at least hopefully we like to see the good guys win. And hopefully we also want to be one of those good guys who finds the right combination and good gals. Some of you this morning like myself, remember an old game show, I've Got a Secret. Remember that, anybody? A few, right? And people tried to stump the panel as they asked questions and tried to figure out what this person's secret was so that they could get the upper hand while this person was trying to stump them and to keep his secret so that he could get a prize. Well, I won't go so far as to say that the idea of the Trinity is a secret of the church. It is a mystery. It is one that has been wrestled with. I certainly won't claim this morning to have a complete handle on it. It is one of those things that has stumped the church and that the church has struggled with and also enjoyed for all of these years from the writings and the scriptures through the Renaissance as people argued over such things as how many angels can stand on the head of a needle. I mean, let's get real. Some things are not important. And neither is it important that we have all the aspects of the Trinity, whether we think of the Trinity as three distinct persons or whether we think, as others have, of one God in three different expressions. But that God comes to us in all of these ways. God reaches out to us in all of these ways. God reaches out in love. And that in Jesus we see what God is like. In the Spirit, Christ is present with us always. Someone has pointed out that the Trinitarian formula that we often use of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a newer formula. That really in the beginning it was Holy Spirit, Son, and Father. That somehow it's easier to think of God with us, of God present, of realizing what God is doing within us and around us, and the blessings that God gives, and the joys that God brings, and the guidance for living out our lives. But Father, God has come to us as the Father. God is Father. But Jesus reminded us that God is not this sour-faced Father, this dictatorial ogre, if you will. That God, our Father, is Abba. That he is this loving Father, this one that we can come to with tenderness, this one who tenderly reaches out to us in love. Yes, the God who has stretched out the vast expanses of this universe, the God who has put it all into motion, the God who controls it, the God who sustains it, the God who continues to minister. The other week, I was at a seminar, and the speaker was mentioning all of the evidences of God. And he was laughing that there are those who say there is no God, that it's all by chance. And then he began to point out that if this earth were only a few degrees off, that life as we know it could not exist. If we were any closer or any further from the sun, the life that we enjoy and take for granted could not be experienced. That without the exact blend of elements, the atmosphere through which we exist would not sustain life. If our systems had a variation in our pH of just a small amount of balance between acid and base, that life would have been impossible. That this great God has created us. He, as the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That I don't understand it, but I know that what I take for granted about myself is a gift of God. A gift of God the Father. John, as he writes to us in his epistle, reminds us that we have sinned. We're sinners. And that if we say that we aren't sinners and that we haven't sinned, then we're liars. And we're either trying to deceive someone else or deceiving ourselves. That we have this need for being brought into right relationship with God. You see, this God that has made us is a holy God. And a God who has been separated from us by our sin. And yet a God who has been reaching out and reaching out through the years. In reaching out to Adam. In reaching out through many others and to many others in reaching out to us with the whole idea that one day the Son would come. One day Jesus would come, and that Jesus would not just come, but that Jesus would come and be a sacrifice for our sins. As John put it, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. That in the mind of God, God knew what had to be done to bridge this gap between sinful, fallen humanity and a holy, righteous God. And Jesus died for our sins. But the Holy Spirit has been sent. The Holy Spirit has come to empower us. The Holy Spirit has come to help us to live, to help us to know who we are, to convict us of our sin. And as Wesley would speak of prevenient grace, that we are only saved because God, through the Holy Spirit, comes to us and convinces us of our need for God, of our sin. And then, of bringing us in to that glorious relationship in which we stand through His grace and His Spirit at work within us. Man was arguing with the preacher. Who could imagine that? He said, there's got to be more to it. There's got to be more to it. You're telling me that to be saved, I just have to accept what God offers me in Jesus? Accept this forgiveness for my sins? There's got to be more to it. It's too cheap. Well, this preacher knew that this man was a coal miner and that he had recently worked his shift. And so he asked him, how did you get out of the mine the other day? He said, well, I got in this cage and was pulled to the surface. And he says, and so what did you pay to be pulled to the surface in that cage? He said, it didn't cost me nothing. It was free. And he says, how in the world did you trust that cage that you hadn't paid a penny for with your very life? Man said, well, it didn't cost me anything, but the company paid a pretty penny for it. The company paid a lot of money for that system. And the preacher says, aha, that's the way it is with salvation. Salvation isn't cheap. Salvation has cost the very blood of Jesus. But for you, you can't buy it. You can't afford it. All you can do is accept it by faith. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God working within us, around us, God providing for us and calling us into relationship with Himself. How marvelous. How marvelous indeed. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for Your love, for the Trinity, that we don't have all the angles and all the answers, certainly not a full understanding. But Lord, what we know, what we understand, is that You love us and that You call us to Yourself, that You want a relationship with us. You want us to be with You. You want us to enjoy Your presence right here and now. And You want us to walk with You. Lord, help us to do just that through Your Spirit at work within us. In Jesus' name. Amen.